The producers of this podcast strongly recommend that you do not listen to the following broadcast if you are sober, or if you have any objection to racism, sexism, fascism, ignorance, intolerance, overindulgence, stereotyping, or objectification. Repetitive Trauma Radio reserves the right to accept absolutely no responsibility for the time you will inevitably waste listening to the following drivel.
And now...
You're speaking to somebody in Calgary here.
Evil Knievel tortures Canadians.
Stop calling me on the phone, you motherfucker!
Hello?
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 Who called this number?
Say again?
Who am I speaking with?
Well, I don't know. Who am I speaking with? You made the phone call. You have to start first.
It's none of your business. I said, who am I speaking with? Why are you calling me?
I didn't call you.
Who called this number?
I have no idea. And we didn't call from this number. And if you take that belligerent tone, I will call the police.
I got a caller ID here. Who called this number?
I'm sorry, sir, but your caller ID is not working properly. No one here called you. No one here has any reason to call you. And if you continue with this belligerent tone, I will certainly do a callback on your number and phone the police and call and have you arrested for harassment.
Who am I speaking with?
Who am I speaking with?
This is Evil Knievel, and if I ever see you, you motherfucker, I'll rip your fucking head off.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Stop calling me on the phone, you motherfucker.
Go fuck yourself, asshole.
Tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it.
Down to business. I got my wild cherry Diet Pepsi, and I got my blackjack gum here. I got that feeling. Yeah, that familiar feeling. Something rank is going down up there.
I'm a member of the Why Bother generation myself.
Hey! No more Mr. Nice Guy!
If you want to complain, tell someone who cares.
Welcome back to another edition of Repetitive Trauma Radio. You can catch us at myspace.com/RT Radio Show. You can also catch us at www.repetitivetraumaradio.com. repetitivetraumaradio.com. Email us at fanmail@repetitivetraumaradio.com. Looks like we got it pretty much a full house here tonight. Even an extra little guest, a little one. We got Randy and his boy, Kelly, Ken. Before we get all shot out of a cannon, is it disrespectful if you just crush your fucking niece's face in with a fist?
I don't know about disrespectful, but it's probably against the fucking law.
Yeah.
What if she trips and falls on your fist?
Well, that's just accidental then.
If you are making a distinct fist motion, it's no goal.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I've never been around such brats before. The one wouldn't even eat. We make a nice prime rib dinner, right? She didn't want it, so they had to make her another meal, which in my house usually don't fly. But they waited until I turned my back and went ahead and did it anyway. And they have a huge problem with shutting doors. And I have a huge problem with leaving doors open.
Not so I'm much that way. Dog. I could agree with you with that.
You know, I get a dog and I get a cat. They don't always need to be outside. It kind of bugs the hell out of me, not knowing everything is. And if you leave shit open, I got to go run and find the two animals.
Yeah, no doubt. They go out and go roaming around on their own. They're not about to fucking pick up a phone and call you and say, hey, listen, I'm down at the corner store. I'll be back in an hour.
The eldest one. I have a neighbor two doors down that has a little girl, too, about the same age. Well, she was all pissed because the little girl couldn't come over. So she looked at me and she said, I'm going to go over there and tell her mom what's up. I go, what do you mean? Yeah, I'm going to go talk to her and tell her that she needs to let her kid play with me.
Listen, man, before you get into this story, Lurch, is Evan taking a shit? What the hell's going on?
I think he's trying to.
It's funny that the way it was played out time-wise, I was like, oh my God, it's almost like Evan's like bitching.
It's a real person. It's not a soundbite.
Yeah, that's not me hitting the soundboard. That's actually the newest member of Repetitive Trauma Radio. Mini Lurch.
He's trying to shit right now.
White knuckling.
Well, I'll mute him a little. Let me throw a pillow on him.
Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't mind maybe smashing the mute button and let Midget carry on with his story. And well, maybe he's finished now that we're talking about him.
Yeah. What were you talking about?
Yeah, so carry on. Sorry, man. So the kids, you're going to have to back it up, I think.
Basically, and the one's only, what, five, maybe six? Tells me she's going to go over to the neighbor and cut a promo because the mom won't let the other kid play. And I said, no, you're not. So the fucking kid cuts a promo on me.
And she's, what, five or six?
Yeah, she goes, you're not my dad. You're not my mom. You can't tell me what I can and can't do. I go, listen here, little Missy. This is my fucking house. I rule this fucking roost. You don't like it? Tough shit. I'll go throw you in the fucking room with the cat because I know you don't like the cat.
Jesus fucking Christ, little, dude.
Little bastards nowadays. They're getting cockier and cockier earlier and earlier.
Then, of course, we don't really have kids' toys around here. So the wife was nice. She went down to the dollar store, bought some dollar toys. You know, like bubbles.
Like the little bubble maker things or whatever, the ring, and you blow through it. And
yeah, that wasn't good enough for him. But she seen a little bow and arrow that I kind of, because I want a bow and arrow. So, but she found this little toy one. So the kids are messed with it. They can't figure out. I was like, here, I'll show you how to do it. I put the bow or the arrow in and pulled the bow back. But it slipped out of my head, out of my hand, got the one right in the fucking juggler.
Oh, my God.
So now I got one crying, and they all think I'm an asshole because I shot her on purpose. Like, no, the damn thing slipped. I'm like, oh, whatever. I get downstairs. I just start laughing my ass off. It couldn't have been more direct shot right in the juggler.
Right on. Serves you right anyways. Fuck. Little bastard.
come to my house. And this is what pisses me off. Nobody lets me know until either the day of or the day before. Because they let me know before that, then I have a chance to say no. But what they haven't figured out is, if you show up without me saying no,
you're going to make it way more miserable.
Oh, hell yeah. I'll walk around the house when you guys are going home.
Yeah.
I think you've ate enough of my food. I'll do that all the time. Make them as uncomfortable as I possibly can.
Fucking hell. What the hell? Are you playing with Velcro in the background?
Yeah, I'm putting my cock ring on.
A Velcro cock ring.
What, don't everybody?
Oh, shit. Sorry. I should get the hair cut or something.
Hear him later on in the show.
That's why you got to roll it just right, because if you leave that the hooks out just a little bit on the wrong side, yeah, it catches some pubes. It's a good way to give a, you know, make a bald eagle Jones out of a broad, though.
Velcro. Duct tape's a little better. Makes them squirm more.
Yeah, but you can't really get it. Oh, you can get it super tight, but then your cock's all, like, all sticky and stuff.
Lighter fluid, that'll take care of it.
Let's get rid of crap. You shave one side, you light the other side on fire, and you ice pick the motherfuckers jumping for safety.
Nice.
Now, do we want to get in this a little bit more? You know, Penn, according to Penn, or according to Kelly, Penn could probably do this because, you know, free health care and everything.
Listen, I take issue with fucking Kelly raving on about me and my fucking free health care. My health care is not free, Kelly.
I would love to see. Give me your fucking yearly totals, motherfucker.
All right.
I will show you what we fucking paid last
year. How much? Okay, let me pull up my calculator right now. Last year, gross, I made 85. Okay. What is 58% of 85,000?
Well, you're the one with the calculator.
So let me see. What did that be? Times 0.85, right?
Yeah. Or no, 0.58.
Or point. Yeah, yeah. 0.58. That says it's fucking 4,930,000. So that's not how much.
Or divide by.
Yeah, divide by. Son of a bitch. Tell where I went to school. Canada.
You gross what?
I grossed 85.
You don't have a calculator either. You have a phone.
Holy shit, dude. That don't look right.
Yeah, see, it's... what's the... Well, okay, 50% of 85 is 42,500. Right? 42,500. So I paid more than 42,500 in taxes. How much do you pay for your health care in a year, Kelly? Do you pay 42,500 for your insurance? Because basically what it boils down to is the government is my insurance carrier.
Actually, you probably pay more than that. Because you're almost paying 60%.
Yeah, that's why it was 58%, something like that, 54%. I forget. Did she run away? She knew she was losing the fight and left.
I think she knew
shit,
she
no.
lost.
I bumped it, the mute button. Sorry. That's what happens when you like hit a joint in the break.
Yeah, no shit. That's what you get for fucking burning a wheel when you're supposed to be
shut
working
up.
On stuff. Okay, so how much did you pay for your fucking...
No,
now,
how did
I
you
understand...
get your value? How did you get your dollar amount? Where did that fucking dollar amount come from? How
that
did
is what I pay. That is what I pay for taxes. What do you pay for tax in a year? What's your percentage?
Taxes, it's usually straight. It, most places, it ends up breaking out to about 20%, unless you go into the higher tax bracket.
All right. I'm paying at least 35% more in taxes than you.
And how many tax breaks do you get, though, Kelly?
I need quite a few, because I've got student loans.
You're probably sitting around 14%.
Taxes. No. 20% when it's all said and done, what goes to Uncle Sam? Now, when you do your taxes and do your tax deduction, that then becomes your adjustable gross income, your AGI. Now, if you want to talk, because I get those tax breaks because my government has decided that we do get those, you know, tax hitches for, you know, student loans. And if you bought a car, if you bought a house, all that shit gets calculated in.
No, not for everybody.
Well, no.
Whatever the case, when it comes to healthcare in Canada versus the United States, if you want insurance, you go to an insurance carrier. And they tell you, okay, this is your monthly payment. This is your monthly premium, whatever the hell you call it. And
is
we
it because
will...
you're in that one area? Because isn't it, like, different? It, I know there's, like, the one more French area. That it's, so aren't there some laws that are different than the rest of Canada?
No, healthcare is federal. In Alberta, you healthcare is provincially privatized. So if you've got a procedure that you don't want to stand in line and wait for the standard fucking federal shit to get done, where if you need a CAT scan, you're on a waiting list for 3 months and shit like that. If you want to get it done, you can go and you can pay cash and you can get the procedure done. You can go to a private insurance broker and they will insure you and you get into specific doctors and everything else. It works more. It's a
almost like you're buying a PPO.
I don't know what a PPO is.
Well, PPO is that type of – it's a type of – it's not HMO. You know how HMOs were like more exclusive and restrictive. With all my, you can only do stuff through the primary doctor. The PPO is more where you get to choose the doctor. So it's almost what the way you're describing is a PPO.
Right. That's the way I understand it. I know that when I was in Alberta, I had to pay – it was $2,500 or $3,000, somewhere in that area, a year for the health care there. I had to actually pay it because I didn't get taxed on it. There was no provincial tax. For you, it would be state tax, and that's how they paid for it. But for the rest of Canada, the money that you pay in taxes is what goes towards health care.
Now, okay, when so you go to it, is that the only money that's the only thing they use that money for?
No,
for
of course, pay. Of course not.
Well, exactly. That's where you got to see the breakdown of it to know exactly.
That federal money is split up. But I mean, if that money didn't go, you can't tell me that if I wasn't paying for, if that tax money wasn't going to health care, my taxes would only drop to 40%. There's a shitload of that money. If you're paying,
well, you have to see how much is the healthcare taxes. How much is the healthcare portion that get? How much of that funding that they get from the income tax, or however you want to do that?
Probably more than 20%.
How much is the healthcare side getting to fund that program? I mean, that's the big breakdown. That's where you can see the actual brass tacks of how much of the money brought in is going to be going just to that, so you would have an even dispute.
Put it down to simpleton terms. All right, Penn, wouldn't you like – I paid high taxes this year. I had to pay 32%. Wouldn't you rather pay 32% than 58%?
Well, fuck, I'll take 32% any day and take my own private insurance.
So if we use that as an example, all right, I'm on the high end. You know, 32 and 58 is what – 26%. So let's just assume 26% of his taxes went to healthcare. Are you going to tell me that healthcare was free for him?
It's free in the sense that I can walk in there anytime, hand them a card and my healthcare card, and that's it. I'm in. You know, I don't get a bill later. But that's because my insurance carrier, who is the Canadian federal government, they're paying for it.
But if you never use it,
I still pay it. That's just it. Exactly. I haven't been to the fucking doctor in years.
That's what I'm saying. You're getting fucking totally screwed over that 26% because you ain't using that fucking health service.
That's it.
Just hope that you don't have the day that you do end up needing it. I mean, that's the big thing.
Let it be his fucking choice if he wants to need it later or not.
Yeah, I would much rather have all of that money right now and then the day that I need it have to pay fucking cash for those services.
Even if they gave him back his 26% per year, let him invest it in some fucking cash funds or something Then 10 years down the road or 20 years down the road, if something would happen, he's got that money sitting there. Because when you let the government have any of your fucking money, you never know what's going to end up happening. It probably won't be there the time you fucking need it.
No, but I just... Never mind. I can't... You can't really have a talk with percentage when you don't know. If you knew... I mean, give me what the actual percentage of...
I'm looking for it right now, Kelly. Yeah. I'll have to come back to it, but I'm looking for it right now.
The other thing is, I mean, it would take me too long to even try to calculate how much we spent out healthcare-wise just last year.
Okay.
I mean, I would have to take a long 70%
time. 2006, 83% of total Canadian federal spending was on healthcare. 83% of my 58%, so 83% of my 42,500. Give or take, is spent on healthcare.
A lot of is, isn't it because even your pharmaceutical medicine is, it's all like that's your insurance, like a set price?
No. If you can, we can also get insurance through work, right? So, as far as that goes, if you've got if you're working for a company that's got a good medical plan, okay. What they do is they'll pay for 80% of all prescriptions. That's where the set rate comes in. So you only pay $5 or $10 for a prescription. But if you're like me, I'm contract, I don't buy my own private insurance. So if I had my own private insurance, I wouldn't pay fuck all, but I'd be paying for it on my own anyway. But if you've got insurance through your work, you go in, you need a prescription for antibiotics or something that normally costs $60, you're going to pay $5 or $6 for it.
The other thing, too, you got to do the economy, too, of what – not economy. I'm trying to think of the word. It's not fucking coming to me. Inflation, rate of pay and stuff. What's like similar jobs, what they get, difference in pay?
I'm not sure what you
mean. In the two regions – like what they would get paid, estimated what they get paid on here on the U.S. side or versus the Canada side, and see the difference of that. Because you have to look too on how to get your total is how much to compare the two areas. I'm going on a fucking ramble. I'm having trouble getting the words out.
Well, that's because you're high as fuck.
No, it's not.
You're the new
reason.
Repetitive trauma radio Ned is what you are.
No, it's multiple reasons, but not just weed.
Yeah. So, well, I don't know. Well, maybe we can revisit it at some point when we're both prepared to debate properly. But let it be known that I have a problem with you calling my fucking healthcare free. It's free in the sense that I can walk in and I don't have to lay anything out to get.
That's my thing I'm talking about.
Yeah, they will not turn me away, even if I don't pay fucking taxes. If I'm one of those, if you're one of those people that don't pay their taxes, you walk into a hospital, you still get treated because the federal government takes all of that money from everybody that does pay their fucking taxes and then dumps it towards healthcare, right?
Okay, that's where your big figures come in.
That's why my fucking taxes are so goddamn high. Because we got every goddamn Mexican and chink that's over here illegally going in without any health insurance and getting all these fucking procedures done. If they quit doing that shit, my taxes would be dropped.
Yeah,
I would love to pay 20% of fucking taxes.
I don't know, man. I'd much rather have to walk out and go get myself insurance and deal with that than have that money go into the federal government because I don't know what the fuck they're doing with it.
Even with insurance, this is what blows my mind about insurance. If you're going to go buy a car, you shop around.
Yep.
But you need a procedure done here in the States, you can only go to certain places that your insurance company has you go. Because they already cut a deal with them.
If that's the type of policy you have.
Why? But either way, if you got a broken arm, the fucking arm's broken. You got a day or two before any worries on it. You're going to be in a little pain. But why can't you go to four hospitals and get the best damn price for it?
It's depending on what it is. You could price shop.
If you have insurance on you, you are not allowed to price shop here. Seriously.
It costs me more money
if I go outside of my circle with my insurance.
That's where you have to break it apart. That's the type of insurance policy you have. If you have a more unrestricted PPO, then you're going to be fine. Because a lot of the big names, too, I mean, most of the doctors take it. There's just a few of the smaller ones that are being blacklisted by some of the medical community.
It still don't matter. Even if the insurance companies themselves would price shop around, which they don't. Everybody gets a vig off of every fucking thing.
What? Yeah.
Seriously, they do.
It's called profit.
I understand profit to a certain extent. If you're the best in the field, yes, you should probably be making most of the money. But if my insurance don't want to go talk to you, if I bust my arm in 7 different places, I want the top of the line. I don't want the bottom of the line. My insurance says, well, you're getting sick and above the line. Then it's my cost difference. Why can't we meet somewhere in the fucking middle?
That makes sense.
The bottom of the line.
Do you realize how doctors are considered with your insurance company? Do you realize that for a few doctors to be, you know, to have your insurance and then find out, oh my God, there's only like 2 neurosurgeons in my area that's under my insurance policy. That's going to be rare. The insurance companies, for the most part, go after the doctors, and they want them to sign and be exclusive and bargain with them. It's not for them to have less doctors. It's for them to have – they want to have as many doctors in their plan as possible. They're covered as possible.
No, actually, they don't.
Who on their resume has a fucking insurance company listed on it as a previous employer?
None of them can actually put that down because that would be conflict of interest. There's no difference between these motherfucking insurance companies going up to these doctors saying, hey, we'll do this. You're going to get this amount, probably more than what you probably get from this insurance company. That's the same fucking thing as some goddamn lobbyists down in Congress doing. They're all fucking crooks. And if it comes down to brass tacks, that doctor, if he's that goddamn good, it don't matter what insurance company comes to him. He shouldn't give a fuck. He should just open up his doors. You got insurance? Come talk to me. You ain't got insurance? Fuck you.
You know, is Randy, are you still dealing with the kid, or are you still around here? Oh, he must have left because he just had to deal with a whole bunch of medical shit. Be interesting to know what...
I'm almost betting his insurance company told him where he had to go.
Yeah. But he ended up, I don't know, from the talks, when we were talking on our own and stuff during the time leading up to the operation for his kid, he was saying that he ended up with the best doctors in the area and stuff. So, you know, I don't know, maybe there's some amount of humanity there and they actually do that for when it comes to infants. I don't know.
You want to know some of the best doctors in the area? Call and find out what insurance have these different offices accept.
Yeah.
The one with the longest list is going to be probably your top one.
And who's to say who's top at their profession?
So how many people do you think are trying to poke out their eyes with an ice pick right now?
This is a bit of time on radio. We're going to come back with a little interview with Mikey Payne from... Labor force.
Oh, yeah, labor force. Fuck, I forgot that was happening. I guess they've heard at least something by them. I've played them a few times, man. We've been hunting these fuckers down since we were doing the barn, long before Repetitive Trauma Radio even started, and we finally got a hold of them. I don't know. I don't know if I'm the only one that's excited about this, but...
No, I am.
I don't know. You and me, we share the same taste in music, I guess, so...
Yeah, makes sense.
All right.
This is Repetitive Trauma Radio. We'll be back with, like I said, Mikey Payne of Labor Force.
front lines every single day. By United, D.C. to some profits away.
Labor force back. Labor force fight back. Labor force back. Labor force fight back.
We're bound for our brutality. Can we tell the future and what's in the sea? Kicking down the walls that separate the men and women from the air.
That's right. Repetitive Trauma Radio and the Honky Tonk Hustlers combine forces to kick off the first official listener contest. Give us a call. Toll free. 1-877-697-8723 for a chance to win an autographed Honky Tonk Hustlers CD and poster. Woo! Leave us a message. Marking out to the Hustlers. Tell them why you think you should win and how we can contact you. All personal information obtained will remain confidential. Email entries, you can send them to fan mail at repetitivetraumaradio.com. That's fan mail at repetitivetraumaradio.com. And that number again is 1-877-69-RT-RADIO. Woo! It's a Honky Tonk Hustlers. It's Repetitive Trauma Radio. Y'all better get on in here, get some phone calls in here, send some email, and get some. That number again, 1-877-697-8723. Thank you.
I love me some Honky Tonk Hustler.
Fuck my roots, my face, I think I'm heading out of town. What about fucking boots? What?
What about fuck my roots? I call my laces and I'm getting out. What about fuck these boots? What about fuck my roots? My bags are packed, I'm heading out of town. What about fuck these boots? What about fuck my roots? I call my laces and I'm getting out.
Of Trauma Radio, we're sitting here with Mikey Payne from Labor Force, punk band out of Cleveland. Before I even call you a punk band, I do have to ask one question. Is there one of your members that has a 2-foot-tall mohawk? Please tell me so.
No, absolutely not. We don't, I think for the most part, nobody has any hair. Not that we're all skinheads, but just how it worked out. So I guess we're an oi band. That's the only way it could be described, if you don't have any hair.
Boy band.
Yeah. Right. I hate to use that label, because that just, how many songs can you write about boots and drinking beer?
Yeah, I think Boots and Braces was covered quite a while ago, and right. What's left?
Exactly.
So, well, first, being from the Cleveland area, I've got to ask, how are you loving what the Cavs are doing?
I'm pretty excited, just because it's Cleveland and we never win shit. So
yeah, you know. I mean, they sweat their games. I'm a big LeBron James fan, so I mean, trust me, I've been watching them.
Yeah. See, I never got into basketball. It's been a while. Like football, baseball, basketball is not really my thing. But anybody that wins around here is okay with me.
Yeah,
yeah. Hockey's the way to go, man. You got to get into hockey.
Yeah, we got the Lake Erie Monsters. I don't think they exactly count as hockey.
Are they playing on a dugout with a frozen cow turd?
Pretty much. I don't know. They're IHL, AHL, something like that.
All right, man. So you're an oi band. Everybody's got a shaved head. I guess you must have quite a big punk following.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's essentially punk music. I mean, it's definitely closer to punk than it would be just the standard oi. I mean, oi pretty much... I don't know. There's a lot of good bands out there, but there's a lot of them that just, they bore the hell out of me. Nice. But yeah, we have a huge punk following, you know, definitely.
Well, you say somehow you've managed to get over 49,000 friends on your MySpace. So, which is myspace.com/laborforce, by the way, for anybody wants to go and check them out. That's some pretty good viral marketing for the punk crowd, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. You know, we did a lot of going out there and sending some stuff out and trying to get in touch with a lot of people that like similar stuff off the bat, and it really blew up. I don't know. We still get tons of ads every day. It's crazy. It's really a lot bigger than we thought it would be.
Right on. Well, yeah, you guys have got more friends than Coxbar.
Really?
Yeah.
Coxbar. Yeah, I didn't know that. I find that hard to believe, but that's cool.
Yeah. Heck yeah. For sure, man. So, You're out there pimping the name.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, if we can only get the kind of people to show up at our show that they get, we'll be in good shape. So if we can get 49,000 people to show up at a show, I think we'd be doing all right.
Yeah, no shit.
Too bad they're spread out across the entire world, you know.
Yeah, that's what really kind of sucks with the internet, where it's like doesn't directly help you per se for getting the people in the places.
Right, exactly. We get, you know, you get 10, 15 people to show up. It's not too bad, but, you know, because everybody's so spread out, it's hard to get a big show together without, you know, I don't know. I'm going to shut up. Yeah, I have a problem with talking on the phone, so bear with me.
Get a little frightened?
I don't know. It's a weird phobia, you know. I mean, it's definitely not rational. You know, I can get up on stage and sing in front of people. If you ask me to order a pizza, that becomes an issue.
Fucking hell. You got no problem. You got no problem stomping into a mosh pit and cracking some skulls, but
exactly.
Put you on a phone and
right. And like, I order a pizza, forget about it. I'll drive down there and order it in person before I call them on the phone. I don't know. It's an irrational fear I have.
So I get shit because everybody says I'm like too addicted to the internet, because I'm always like, can't you order online?
Exactly. That's the only thing saving me. It's like, it's fucking, it's amazing.
It's like, you mean I gotta call them? Oh, shit.
Yeah, you have to deal with real people. Forget that.
Yeah. I can sympathize totally.
Right now, the band as is, you're not all the original band members.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Not even close.
So are you just kind of a terror of being a leader of the band or anything like that? Are you just real hard to work for? Or what's...
I have to ask myself that same question. Sometimes I wonder, maybe it's me, but I don't think it is. It's just, I like, you know, it's... People, they want to be in a band and they want to play some songs, but they don't want to take it seriously and, you know, devote their weekends to it and doing travel time, and that's where things get complicated. I mean, it's pretty much me. One of the original members came back, but so it's me and him, and everybody else is new, and they've been all but everybody's been replaced, at, I don't know, a dozen times.
Holy shit. How long have you guys been around?
About 8-9 years now, and it was real slow getting off the bat, so... But now things are really picking up. I got some guys that all they want to do, you know, is just play every weekend. So that's what I've been holding out for.
Now, what type of gigs and stuff do you do on the weekends for the most part now? I mean, you do in the little local bar scene?
We do. We try to get out as much as we can. We really don't play Cleveland that much. I don't know what it is about Cleveland, but they don't seem to appreciate us a whole lot. So we try to get out of town, but, you know, with a name like Labor Force, of course, we all have to have jobs. So it makes touring a little difficult. So anything within a, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 hour drive, we'll do it, you know, any chance we get.
Have you done anything in Columbus? Then I thought I saw, like, didn't you have a trip to Columbus coming up soon?
Yeah, we got, I don't even know the date offhand, but yeah, we got something in Columbus. Actually, we might have two shows coming up in Columbus. I don't know if they're both put up there. But, yeah, we've come down to Columbus. We came down. We actually played the day of the Ohio State-Michigan game. That was last time we were down there.
So aren't those fun?
Down there too. Yeah. It was interesting. It was. I mean, I've never seen anything like that with people in the streets. It was insane.
They're a bit nuts for their Buckeyes. I used to live in Columbus. I don't anymore. But, yeah, I became a avid Ohio State hater after living in Columbus
really?
For almost 5 years. Yeah, because I was like, oh my gosh, I just can't stand hearing about the Buckeyes anymore.
That's funny. Yeah, my guitarist actually went to Ohio State, so he never shuts up about this.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, and he's a big hit because I make sure I call him out when we play out in Michigan. So
everybody,
he doesn't like that very much.
It's good. But for the most part, y'all just do the little driving distance gigs right now.
Yeah, for the most part right now, we try to, you know, like, I think we've done some other stuff. We've gone down to, like, the Carolinas and out to Boston and stuff. But it's for right now, it's stuff we can hit up on the weekends.
You know, I have to ask this because I've been to the bar scenes and stuff in Columbus and hung out in them quite a bit. But how are the chicks at the bars? Have you noticed a difference in how the girls will react to you from when you first start on stage to when you do your last set?
Well, see, like, it's hard to even, I don't know, hard to even talk about that because apparently, you know, because the music's so testosterone driven, there's not a lot of women that come out. And when they do, they're usually dragged along with their boyfriend. So I can't really, I don't really have a comment on that.
Wow, that's bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all these macho guys that just want to go and beat each other up, and not a lot of women come out. Unfortunately for us.
So you never get any of the little skinny little punk chicks that were treated badly by daddy coming out to that want to get railed by a good thick skinhead.
Yes, you'll have those from time to time, but I know way too many of the bands that have come through these towns, and so. I stay away from those because I know better. I know what she's been with, what she was with the week before. So,
so there's none of those surprise moments where you get her back on the bus and suddenly she's sticking a finger in your ass. You know,
no, surprise. No, nothing like that. No.
Right. No sloppy seconds, thirds, fourths, fifths.
Definitely not my style, so I stay away from that stuff. I can't speak on behalf of everyone else, and I won't, but I'm getting anybody in trouble, but yeah, I stay away from that. I don't need to be coming home and with something that's swollen that shouldn't be, or some kind of rash.
So it was that an intentional punk music pun there, Kelly? Sloppy seconds?
Yeah. Dude, I've been to some of the punk shows and stuff, and it's some of the girls that I have seen out there, I'm just like going, damn, she walked out of the house looking like that? Shit.
Yeah, well, she was on a mission. That's why she walked out of the house looking like that.
I live for chicks like that.
I mean, being a little whorish is fine, but at least take an effort to make yourself look presentable to where the guy would actually want to stick his dick inside of you, you know? It's
like, oh, my goodness.
What about when you and I were talking earlier, you were telling me about your Allentown show.
Oh, yeah, that was last classic. Month. Yeah, we went out there for the East Coast Oi Fest, and which was a good time. A lot of Oi bands, and that means, you know, a lot of skinheads. But Allentown is predominantly Hispanic, so they, not knowing what was going on, they just took it as a big, you know, white power rally. So tensions were high, to say the least. And then
you guys ended up breaking down after the show, right?
Yeah, we had to play pretty early on Sunday, and then we had to get back because everybody's got to work. So we took off, and about a mile and a half down the road, the van started smoking, and we broke down in the middle of Mexican town, and
oh my god!
I don't know if you've seen our logo, but it's a giant fist, which is often misconstrued as a white power fist. So it's pretty much the whole side of the van. So we broke down in the middle of a minority neighborhood and got some glares. Nobody said anything though, surprisingly.
That's probably.
Yeah. And then, well, this story just goes from there. So we had to go to an auto parts place and get a starter for the van, and we go there and nobody speaks English, and we had to get a cab ride over there from a guy that didn't speak English. And then there's a gentleman in the parking lot working on his car, lit himself on fire, so we had to wait for that. And the fire department came and they blocked the cab in while we're on the meter. It was just a hell of a day. It just escalated from there.
Motherfucker left the meter running while you were blocked by the fire truck.
After a little while, he stopped it. He felt bad. He actually came in and told us. But yeah, for a while it was running.
Holy shit!
He's got to make money too.
Yeah.
This guy's outside with his arm on fire. His left arm's on fire. He's holding it up in the air and trying to put the fire in his engine out with his other hand. He wasn't really too concerned with his arm. It was melting off the boat. So it was an all-around great day.
Holy shit.
Man.
Sounds good.
You're bringing back so many memories. We also we had that same day we had to stop at the mall to get our drummer some drumsticks and got involved with some shoplifting, apparently, because we had witnessed it, and then we had to make a statement with the police, and it was just Allentown. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Jeez.
Fucking yeah. Hell.
Sounds like a good time all around.
It was. It was excellent.
Was that back when you guys were partying lots, or because I know you told me that you guys don't do a lot of drinking, a lot of hard partying at your gigs anymore.
Yeah. No. Well, initially it was me. I mean, I had a straight edge drummer and a couple guys that had gone clean, and so I had felt the need to drink for everyone. So
well, hey, somebody's got to do it.
Right, absolutely. But in that, our music suffered a little bit. They all seemed to play really well, but for some reason I couldn't remember the lyrics to songs that I had actually written. So that became a bad thing. But yeah, well, Allentown, I don't think any drinking was going on then. But it was still a mess.
Have you ever had to mix it up while you're on stage? I mean, guys get a little rowdy and stuff.
I don't know. Not usually. We really don't have any problems with that. People, you know, that generally are there just, you know, they're there to have a good time and they want to see us. So hopefully they like us and don't want to start some shit.
Right on. Outside of the mosh pit, of course, where.
Right.
That's just what it's all about.
Commonplace, right.
And speaking of drinking, there's the Detroit show you were telling me about, too.
Right.
With the door guy. What, he was drinking?
The door guy was loaded off his ass when we got there. This is this little place. We walk in this place, and they have, you know, it's a little dirty bar. And they have a stage up in the corner. And so we're like, all right, well, that's where we're going to play. And they take us to this little back room. It was more of a hallway. It was probably, I don't know, about 10 feet wide and about, I don't know, 35 feet long. And we're like, all right, well, they give us a little backstage room, a little lounge to hang out in. And then they break it to us that that's where we're playing, which was Very interesting. So it was essentially a hallway we were playing in with no stage, nothing. They have this little crappy head, this little PA set up, and the first band plugs in and goes to play. The PA doesn't work. Our bass player gets out his tools, takes the whole thing apart, rewires it, just so we could have this show. And then...
So they're the PA that they're like, this isn't a gig where you got to drag in all your equipment. The only thing you're restricted to is their.
Right. We had their PA to work with. The other room has an official PA, has monitors, has the real deal, but they didn't want us to play in there for some reason. They wanted us to use this little crappy one with two speakers that plug into the back of it, you know?
Shit.
Yeah. And then, of course, the door guy was so loaded. He just came in. He thought he was going to be in charge of sound, too. So he just came in and just took all the knobs and just turned everything up and then just joined the mosh pit and said, fuck anybody trying to get in. They don't have to pay. So that went pretty well. And all of a sudden, the room filled up and there were a ton of people in there and none of them paid.
Did you get paid for the gig at all?
We made $20 that night, because apparently before he was completely wasted, he had charged a couple people, so that was good.
Oh my god, I'd be about ready to kick somebody's fucking ass.
Yeah, and the sad part is, the guy who set up the show felt so bad, he's been begging us, and he's just like, come on guys, just give me one more chance, so we're actually going back there, so we'll see.
Oh,
he's like, we'll get you a sound guy, we'll give you a guarantee. I'm like, alright, we'll see what happens.
Did you put the clause in there that you actually get to play with the real system this time?
Yes, we're playing the main stage, if you want to call it that.
Fucking hell! Yeah, and that was the same show, wasn't it? Where all the little wiggers showed up.
That is the one. These guys. I mean, we're just outside of Detroit, and I don't know if these guys were local or why they decided it was a good night to come to this little shit bar, because they didn't seem like they belonged there. But yeah, they all decided they heard the music and decided to come over and join the mosh pit. They didn't really understand how that works, so they just started swinging, and it was just fists flying.
Oh,
people were getting knocked over. The PA got knocked off. It was up on this. It was up on a stool, which was up on a table.
Just a question. How can you mosh pit when your pants are down to your ankles?
I don't know. They did all right, though. I was impressed, other than the fact that they wanted to punch everyone.
That was their main goal in getting in the mosh pit, was just so they could hit people.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been in a few pits where, you end up getting around to clocking somebody in the
side
of the head.
Right, sometimes it happens. But I just think these guys, they're not used to people bumping into them, scuffing their tennis shoes, and it escalates quickly.
Especially considering what kind of sneaks they're wearing. I mean, shit.
So living a life, at least on weekends, playing your gigs and stuff like that, if you weren't doing your music, what do you think you'd be doing?
I have absolutely no idea. That's like what I want to do. It's what I focus on all the time. If I'm not playing with the band, I'm writing lyrics or something. I've been trying to learn guitar for the life of me. I just love making music. It's a good outlet just for stress, of everyday life. Love it.
I can feel your pain with the guitar, because I've been trying to. I've got a Fender that I just got for Christmas and stuff. Well, it's actually my husband's Christmas gift, but he never uses it, so I'm trying to learn. Yeah, and that is difficult.
I'm not made for it.
I've seen on your MySpace, which is myspace.com/laborforce. We're talking to Mikey Payne, lead singer of the band. And on your MySpace, one of the big things is your quote-unquote disclaimer about being a skinhead band. You get mistaken as skinheads being racist and whatever else, being like along the lines of, say, a screwdriver or a Nordfront or something like that quite often.
Right, well, I don't know. We don't get a ton of it, but generally, just because it's a skinhead band, quote unquote, people always just have that preconceived. They think we're a racist band. That's just how it works. And then it doesn't help that we sound similar to those bands, it's similar kind of style. So we attract the same guys that like that stuff, even though they knew the words of the song, they see that we're not racist, but they don't care,
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, in that, in that song, Jimmy, that's what you're doing is, you know, asking, I'm guessing that the lyrics to that song came from personal experience, did they?
Yeah, absolutely. Buddy, I grew up with this guy. I think I met him in like second grade. And we're still cool, like forever, though. We were fine. And then like right after high school or late in high school, he decided all of a sudden he was white power. And I'm like, what are you thinking? It's like we were raised together. I know we weren't raised that way. We know better than that. That's just stupid. I think it was just like, I don't know, just a phase, just kind of something to fit in. But he grew out of that. He's cool now. He does my tattoos. He's a cool guy.
Could it be more of the fact that ain't thinking you're a hate group? Maybe they just don't like the fact that most white men don't look good bald.
What? Obviously, you haven't been checking out my MySpace page because I look fabulous.
I'm sorry, but I kind of like the, you know, shaved head look. I mean, I kind of go for that. I married that.
There you go.
Speaking of which, ladies, Mikey Payne, he's single, and he's probably looking for somebody to hit him up.
That's right. I'm on MySpace. Go to the labor force page. Look me up. As long as you're not a groupie.
Yeah. Between MySpace and Facebook, shit, how can you not get laid anymore?
Try Craigslist if nothing else works.
Yeah, right. There you go.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm not even on MySpace too much anymore. Facebook is it's been taking over my life.
Oh, Facebook's addictive.
Yeah, I'm learning. I was on there for about 2 years and finally decided to actually use it. It's cool.
You were telling me earlier about getting banned from playing in a couple of places because you were mistaken as a skinhead band.
Yeah, well, there was just the one place, actually, as far as I know, place in down in Akron, Ohio. And I don't know. That's the story that came down as we were a racist band. And I think that, I don't know if they were just trying to blacklist us. There's another band in town that we have a strong connection with. We've swapped members and so forth, and they had a little trouble there, and there was a fight that broke out. And after that, they wanted to label us as a racist band, apparently. I think it was just because they were pissed, basically. But I wanted to get that out there. So there's no, you know, I put that right out on the page, make sure there's no misunderstandings right off the bat.
Yeah, that's good. It's certainly not the kind of publicity that you need.
No, not at all. I mean, they always say any publicity is good publicity, you know?
That can only run so far, right?
Right.
Right. Absolutely. On. So you've got practice tonight, right?
Yeah, yeah,
which you need
definitely.
To get to. So I know we're getting close to the time there. I wanted to touch on, I noticed in a couple of your blogs on your MySpace, you guys, as well as having your album up on iTunes, I guess it's just a simple search for Labor Force.
Yep.
On iTunes. Who's your main, what is it, a supplier? Who's the main distributor for your CDs and your merchandise? What kind of merchandise have you got? Do you go all the way out with the mud flaps and the hockey pucks?
Says a Canadian,
Yeah, of course. That's all right. I got a drummer now who's just a hockey freak.
Right on.
But, we get t-shirts. I mean, usually like we have more stuff. We don't have all that. We have, you know, the patches, the stickers, some buttons and stuff, but that's usually stuff that we just sell at the shows. Like innerpunk.com has some of our t-shirts. We need to restock them, but if anybody's interested, they can check that out. And as far as like, I mean, essentially we just do everything ourselves, and, there's probably a million MP3 sites out there that have our stuff on it. If people want to check it out, you don't necessarily have to go to iTunes.
All right, and in talking with Mike earlier in the week, I found out that one of his biggest pet peeves is the torrent sites. So I went and looked, and you will not find Labor Force on any torrent sites, so don't bother.
Oh, excellent. Just go. I know my drummer, even though he claims to have bought our CD years ago, he's just been in the band a few months now. He says, yeah, he got it off a torrent site. I'm like, yeah, well, thanks a lot, douchebag.
I don't see a big problem with the torrent sites for the big bands. It's already made their million or two or 3 million, however much they've made. I don't see a big problem with those. But, yeah, the local guys, any of the local groups and stuff, I won't, like, bootleg their shit. I mean, I will go straight on iTunes and fucking buy them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not terribly appalled by it, but, you know, if everybody was going there, I'd be screwed. But, you know, here and there, it's not so bad.
Okay. And your MySpace is always up to date with your coming up gigs and where you're going to be playing, that sort of thing? Is that that's the main central place to find out about you?
Yeah, we don't have a website anymore. It was too much trouble, especially because everybody goes to MySpace anyway to look for stuff. So it's like instant. So, yeah, we keep that pretty up to date.
Perfect. All right, man. Well, we'll let you get gone to practice. We'll cut away to one of your tunes. What's your favorite? What's the tune you'd like everybody to hear?
My personal favorite would be Loyalty.
Loyalty, mine too, man. That's the one that brought me to you guys. So that's what we're going to go into right now. And thanks a lot for coming in, man. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
And, yep, no problem. Thank you.
And we'll probably like to check back with you in a little while and see what you guys got going on.
Very cool. Thanks a lot.
All right. Cheers. That was Mikey Payne from Labor Force. It's Repetitive Trauma Radio. We'll be back after this.
Loyalty is a gunshot away. They come out in large numbers with their respects to pay. But none of them stood by you through the struggle and the pain. Loyalty is a gunshot away. Such a mean, really dumb shit. You think that's a treasure, well, when you look at my ear, you can't imagine it doesn't got a lot, it doesn't more. And let's do the same, but you shut me out the door. Loyalty is a gunshot away. They come out of those numbers and there is a pay. But none of them survive through the struggle and the pain. Loyalty is a gunshot away. From the darkness of the forest and the trees, but fear that life is poor, we're not as true as these. I stumbled down the wall path and discovered your deceit. This time I'm on my own, that I can land back on my feet. Loyalty is a gunshot away. They come out of those numbers with their resistance to pay, but none of them survive through the struggle and the pain. Loyalty is a gunshot away.
Repetitive Trauma Radio. We'll make shoving an ice pick in your ear feel soothing. Repetitive Trauma Radio.
I'm gonna make you pay. I'm gonna make you do it. Trust me, you'll never get. With the lyrics, I'm 100%.
way to overcome these struggles, and I chose to learn to survive by witnessing evil's hand. And life's a fighter and respect all those who make a means. It's trying to stop the underpaid and running human machines. We're the place to provide for ourselves and family. We see a voice inside ourselves that you will never see. It's overwhelming pride, we succeed in all we do. We'll always have the upper hand, who honestly will be true.
Welcome back to Repetitive Trauma Radio. That's a pretty interesting guest that we have there with Mikey Payne from Labor Force. Pretty good guy.
Yeah, man, he's high energy, got lots to say. Fuck, I can't imagine being at one of their shows. I think it'd be a blast.
I don't know if I got Wickers punch me, though. I don't know if I want to be there. Yeah. I'm a little too old for that shit.
No doubt. I don't know. From the sounds of it, though, they got a lot of skinheads showing up at their shows, so you probably probably have lots of backup anyways.
Yeah, blonde hair, blue-eyed, I think I'm fine.
Yeah, no doubt.
Do we still have Randy on here?
He was there.
Man, I was hoping to get him to talk about the forum a little bit. For some of you guys that don't know, if you get on the repetitivetraumaradio.com, we also have a forum where you guys, people that want to participate, they can come in on the forum and talk to us. For the most part, the show staff is on there. I know Randy's on there quite a bit. I'm on there quite a bit. And Miller likes to pop his head in once and twice. So if you even just want to pop in, say hi, or if you're looking to catch an old show, that's where you can find us. There he is. For the people that don't know, we actually do the show like you guys listen to. We do it blind because we can't see any of us anyway.
Yeah, we're in a virtual studio. We're spread across literally North America.
Oh, boy.
Is there anything else you wanted to chime in on the forum, Randy, while we got you for a quick second?
No, not much, man. It's just a place for if we have any listeners or if they have any fans of any of the guests that we have. It's a good way to keep in touch with us, and you know, so you can get information, you know, whatever. If MySpace doesn't do it for you, or if you're into the message board thing and you like to, you know, interact with some crazy fucks like us, it's always a good fun. But you know, now with the Facebook and Twitter, you know, message boards are falling down by the waysides.
Do you want to get in that contest a little bit more since we didn't talk about it in the first hour? I know Indy did a YouTube video for us.
Yep, it's posted up, well, all over the place pretty much. You're going to find it on our MySpace page. It's a little ways down there. It's the Repetitive Trauma Radio / Honky Tonk Hustlers listener contest. You'll find it on the Honky Tonk Hustlers page. They were kind enough to put it up there for us. It explains the whole deal. They were kind enough to get after it and offer up an autographed CD and poster. It's going to be personalized. They're holding on to it until we pick the winner, and they'll personalize it to you. Autographed by the members of the band, and they'll send it out to you. All you got to do is either give us a call. What the hell's the number? 877-697-8723. Is that it? I think it's 697-8723. Either that, or if you're overseas, because I know the Honky Tonk Hustlers, they've got a lot of fans overseas. We've already received some entries from Europe and such. If you can't reach us on that number, then send us an email. Send it to fanmail@repetitivetraumaradio.com. Tell us why you think you should win. I don't know, be creative. Don't be creative. Shit, just tell us to fucking give it to you. I don't care. Just write in and everybody's going to be considered. It's not necessarily a competition as such. It's just we just want to hear from you, and we're going to pick somebody that can have the CD.
Like, we're going to take the 6th and 9th emailers in the next hour.
Yeah. All right.
Ninth and that caller in the next 20 minutes will get it.
Yeah, that's it. So,
and if you call now, we'll throw in a fucking the chopper, whatever, the slap chopper.
Not maybe. One, but two.
I mean, I don't care. People can call in and tell us that they hate us, but they just like the Hustlers. Doesn't matter. You don't have to be fans of us. Just got to like the Hustlers. That's all.
I looked around in the MySpace, and who's the kid that plays the stand-up bass? His name
Stemp.
Stemp? Yeah. His name on his MySpace is what the fuck? It's the stand-up picking cracker or something.
Fucking hell.
Either way, they're a bunch of good guys. Support them if you would.
Yeah, that's it. Unless I don't know.
Kind of our way to help support them also.
That's it. Maybe one of these days we can set something up with Labor Force, too. Mikey seems like a pretty good guy, and they've got quite the following, so.
I don't know if I can have any more bald pricks on my show, though.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
If we go to YouTube and search RT Radio Show, we have our own channel where the video was uploaded to.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, so if we do any more, so if we do, the video will be there, and if you subscribe to our channel, I'm sure if any more videos get produced, they'll go there, and then you'll get them in your email, and you'll be all notified and stuff. That's the way the internet works these days, you know.
Perfect.
As far as I know, we don't have an official Twitter, and we will never have an official Twitter.
Ever. Never. I'm quitting the show if that happens. I will quit myself. I know this fucking thing can go on without us, but I'm out of here.
Nope. Yeah, I'm not on board with the Twitter thing. The only time I contemplated it was when my son was in surgery, but I was like, I can just call you guys. I don't need additional followers.
Fuck Twitter. Twatter. Fucking.
What really sealed the deal for me is I went to the Stern Show Twitter, and they have basically a shirtless picture of High Pitch Eric. I'm all set. I don't even want to watch the Stern Show anymore. That guy's so disgusting.
Yeah, that really sent me over the edge here, and that Stern was on Twitter. I don't know what the fuck they were thinking.
Well, I lost all what little respect I had for him.
He doesn't like it either, though. In his defense, Stern hates the fact that they're Twittering now.
If you hate it, then why are you allowing it to go on?
It's his corporate shit. They're telling him, you've got to be on here. And he's like, look, I don't want my fucking guys spending energy on this. It's bullshit. So they
originally John Hine said, or someone had said that Stern was actually the one Twittering. That was a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely. Stern wanted nothing to do with it. It was Tim Sabian came in. His program director said, we got to get on this. It's big, blah, blah, blah. And Stern's like, all right, put somebody on it. And he figured it would just be the same as the feed that comes up on your Sirius radio. So-and-so was in the studio, you know, whatever. So they started getting a bunch of shit because I guess that's not the way you're supposed to use Twitter. I don't know how the fuck it works.
Now, if Stern wanted to use Twitter like that, like the SDI, whatever it is, on your Sirius unit, you know, you get that Twitter that Adam Carolla's coming in the studio in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Check out your Sirius.
Yeah.
I could understand. I could truly understand something like that.
Absolutely. And that's why he went for it in the first place, because he figured that that's what was going on. But it's.
So now they're just like shooting out blurbs or details of the show, essentially giving the show out without anyone having to subscribe or listen or anything.
That was the thing. So he said, fuck this, because it was put on Baba Booey. He was the one supposed to be doing it, and Stern said, no way, I don't want my guys spending any amount of energy on this whatsoever. So they decided to get Wendy the retard to take care of it. So she was doing it for a while. Sal would call her and get the information from her, and that's what they were putting on the Twitter. I don't know what they're doing now, because I don't have a Twitter account, so I don't fucking read it. But that was the big deal last week, was they decided to get Wendy the retard to be the one that Twittered for them.
Because if they Twitter, Doug Stanhope's going to be on the show in the next 5 minutes. I'd probably find a way to mosey out to my truck or onto the internet and so I could listen to Stanhope for that.
Yeah, that segment, for sure. That would make sense. If I got a text message on my phone saying that, Stanhope's on, you know, well, shit, okay, I'm going to fire up the Sirius. Fucking hey, tell me what I'm missing. But that's not, it's, supposedly that's not the way Twitter's supposed to work. It's supposed to be the random, mindless details of your life.
Oh, you know? Yeah, they definitely went mindless with Wendy the Waterhead.
Yeah, no fucking doubt. I don't know.
Wendy the Window Licker.
I haven't listened to a bunch of Sirius lately, but speaking of Sirius, the Sponge Man pulled the My Trunk song off of, they don't play it anymore. They've got, supposedly have gotten corporate pressure to not play the My Trunk song.
My Trunk? I haven't heard that one. It's been a while.
It's about the woman in Florida who...
Kaylee Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
Claimed her baby was missing or kidnapped, and then come to find out she had killed her herself and kept her in her trunk of her car.
They played it on Sirius on Friday. Well,
did they?
Yeah, it was on the Friday show, at least on Sirius anyway.
No, I think maybe what you heard was the Cats in the Cradle version.
I forget even what the tune to it was.
The one that's supposedly so offensive is My Humps from Black Eyed Peas.
No, that's not the one I heard then.
You heard the Cats in the Cradle one. They actually got three of them. The first one was Kaylee's Mom. To that, whatever stupid song that is, I couldn't tell you.
I don't know.
One with Rachel Hunter as the in the video. Rachel Hunter was the mom. That was a parody of that song. Can't walk that damn far away from the mic. Apparently, the other one was My Trunk to My Humps, and the last one was Kaylee's Not in the Cradle by her.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't hear the My Humps version. Anyways,
I might have it kicking around somewhere. I might have grabbed it.
Yeah, well, pick that up.
I don't know. I just think it's. I heard it. I thought it was kind of. It is tasteless, but it's true, and it's. You know, they. I think they hem and hawed about it for about a good week, but. Now I guess it's off the show. But who knows? It's probably off the show because it's going to be the first track on the next box set.
I wouldn't say it's tasteless, but I will say it's fucking brutal.
Yeah, it definitely is descriptive. But I haven't heard a lot of my series has been off for about two, you know, off, like not being listened to for a couple of weeks. It's kind of lost its luster, more or less.
You know what? I actually know a lot of people that actually gave up on their series when Sirius decided they needed to charge for online listening.
See, we haven't been charged here. Well, Sirius Canada is a separate entity, but I still get online within my subscription, so.
Well, that probably knocked a lot of people out of it because everyone listened at work.
I know. Like I said, I know quite a few people. You know, they called and bitched because they weren't getting their. They wanted to pay, and they said, "Well, we'll give you 6 months free." I've been a subscriber for 4 or 5 years now. I think you could just give it to me free whenever the fuck I want it, and just not 6 months. If you're going to give it 6 months, just let it keep on going for free.
I don't know. What lost it for me was with the whole deal with Bubba and them feeding the fucking terrestrial radio show instead of actually paying him to do a real fucking show. But
a deal's a deal, man. He had to cut whatever deal he could get.
Yeah. I understand why he did it and stuff. I liked having him having an exclusive serious show. But you can't blame the guy for cutting a deal like that. I mean, doing two shows a day and everything else. Fuck.
If Sirius
made it suffer.
If Sirius would just let him go, you know, like he does on Friday, that's actually what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
The one show, wrap up the one show, do the Sirius show. That's all they wanted to do, but they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to pay the money. So guess what? That's what you get. And it's not that bad to listen to, so.
I mean, I've still got my subscription. I'll never cancel it, but... I don't listen too much anymore now. I'm just fucking paying for nothing, basically.
No, I catch it as much as I can, but it's not like when it first started, you know, run right home to catch the show or, you know.
Should we do some news before we get the hell off of here?
Yeah, I guess so. How much, we've wasted a lot of time here, so we might have time for maybe one fucking story.
We'll do a two or three. No, we got plenty of time.
No, we're running pretty much where it's time to get the fuck out of here, to be honest with you. I think you got time for one fucking story, man.
Well, then I'm skipping this one because it wasn't that good.
All right, then. Get after it. Let's go. Pitter patter, bitch.
Fuck you and your pitter patter. Man, there were some good ones. I don't know which one to pick.
Tick-tock.
Associated Press. Outhouses cushion. Small plane crash in Washington State.
Outhouses?
Yeah, like the shit boxes.
Okay.
A small airplane dropped from the sky after its engines failed. Wound up on a cushioning bunch of portable toilets. And the pilot was able to walk away apparently unhurt. You're not unhurt, my friend. I had to get a hepatitis C shot. Gary Mayer of the FAA says the Cessna crashed Friday afternoon into Washington State after taking off for Thun Field, an airfield owned by Pierce County, southeast of Tacoma. Sheriff's spokesman says the plane was about 150 feet in the air when the engine quit. Oh, fuck, that ain't that high up. That's 15 stories. Troyer said the News Tribune that the pilot tried to turn around and land, but didn't quite make it. The plane hit a fence, flipped over, landed upside down on top of a portable toilets standing in a storage yard. The only thing saving him, they were standing in a storage yard and not being used.
Fucking hell, that would have sucked if they were all full, hadn't been emptied yet.
That'd have been awesome.
Upside that down?
That dude'd be walking out, yakking.
I would brag that I'd landed my plane in a toilet.
Lurch's probably sat in one of them toilets, so you know.
Yeah, those things are fucked up. It's the only time you have to, you know, I'm sure they're clean ones, but when they're, like, they're out in air in places where they're not used, but normally you go there, it's about, like, at a large concert or something, when everyone's gone in there to puke, piss, shit, shoot up.
That's if they even bother going in them.
You go, and it's like 100 degrees, and you go in there, and you're instantly overcome by the fumes.
Whoa.
Fumes, the maggots, you know, the flies, no toilet paper. If it's a really good party, there's some geek stuff down in one. Then you're standing there pissing, and some asshole thinks he needs to run, jump right into the damn door to try to knock you over. Not saying I've been on either side of that end, but...
This from the guy that backs into his coworkers and shits his pants because he's pushing so hard to try and flatter him with a fucking fart.
Oh, that's what I did to my brother-in-law. He was sitting in a chair. I just backed up, blew ass. Fucking dick. One last one, then we'll get out of here. To win Alaska betting game, River ice breakup. Anchorage, Alaska, the ice on Alaska Tanana River has broken apart, and now two lucky winners who guessed the timing of that much-awaited annual event will split jackpot of nearly $300,000.
$300,000 to guess when the ice is going to break up?
Yeah, don't you think these fuckers need a hobby or something?
Holy shit. Well, not for $300,000. That sounds like a good fucking hobby to me.
Is it like a raffle where the funds come from people like trying to guess?
Yeah, it'd probably be like a pool or whatever, right?
Yeah, they do things similar like that in other places. I know they do an ice out type of thing on Lake Winnipesaukee, New Hampshire.
Oh, you're placing bets on the gimmick. Oh, last year it was actually more.
Really?
Yeah, the exact amount this year was $283,723. Last year was $304,000.
Holy shit.
Where is this?
Anchorage, Alaska.
Some people got too much money.
No fucking
no shit. Too much time to sit around and guess when the ice is going to go.
They get that fucking north of 60 bonus or something, don't they?
I don't know.
What's 71. What?
I wonder if you can take a side bet of when the polar bear drowns.
This has been going on since 1917.
Well, ice freezing, water freezing?
Well, they call it the Ice Classic. The Ice Classic was launched in 1917 by Alaskan railroad workers trying to pass the long northern winter while waiting for spring to break. Now, thousands in Alaska, even some outside of the state, participate in the Classic. You think Vegas has the odds on this? That's a lot of fucking coin.
Good enough.
Everybody's petering out. You're listening to Repetitive Trauma Radio. Catch you next week.
Later.
Like a freight train with no brakes.
Why? For God's sake, why?
This has been Repetitive Trauma Radio.
Repetitive Trauma Radio, traumatizing the world one download at a time. Executive producer, host, defender of the Maple Leaf, and wannabe Fred Norris, Penn. Host, self-proclaimed superstar, diva in king shit, the asshole, formerly known as a midget, Wade Jordan. IT services, fan outreach, conflict resolution, and contributing voice of reason, Lurch. Senior editor, conspiracy theorist, and drunken shenanigans, courtesy of Miller. Keeping RT Radio from being a total sausage fest, our audio technician, political analyst, and resident hottie, Kelly. Visit the Repetitive Trauma Radio's websites located at rtradio.podomatic.com, repetitivetraumaradio.com, myspace.com/RTRadioShow. Email the staff at rtradioshow@yahoo.com. Give us a call at 877-697-8723. That's 877-69-RT-RADIO. Folks, that's it for this week. On behalf of the entire Repetitive Trauma Radio family, thanks so much for listening. This is Indy. See ya.